It's really interesting. Kath and I have had the privilege of visiting vineyard churches here in Australia and over the world, and it's incredible because you come into a vineyard church and it just feels like home. When you are, even though you might not be in your sort of home church, you go into another vineyard and it just feels like there's something there that just makes you feel very much at home. And so we love the vineyard. Now that we're sort of officially retired from work stuff, we need to get to do fun stuff now. I think that's how you say it. Anyway, it's all been fun. Anyway, so it's really fun to be here. And when I told our pastor that we were coming over, he says, please send our love. So we go to a church called Centrepoint Vineyard down on the northern beaches of Sydney. And he said, please let them know that, you know, we love them and we're cheering them on. And so, well done. And so it's great to be here and really blessed that To and Maria would allow us to come and join in. And so they're doing an awesome job leading this church, loving you guys, and just seeking God for what he's doing in this region. And so, well done, you guys. We think you're amazing. And so it's a real privilege for us to be here. I love the theme of March. I trained first as a structural engineer, and I built our family home. Then I built a holiday house, and then we as a church, we bought a little cottage and I renovated that. And then we've been doing some mission work over in Cambodia. And in Cambodia, there's people there who don't have homes. They get washed away every flood season. And so we would go over and in 4 days, we could build them a home. And I'm like, bring it on. Like, that is so cool. Never could happen in Australia, of course. But we built it out of bamboo, and the people who were going to live in it came and helped. And so I have been building for a lot of my life. And even here, this church, see all this timber up here? I'm like, I feel so at home. Like there's nail holes that haven't been fixed. There's bits of timber and, you know, and I could get splinters up there because that's what you do when you build, you get splinters. And so it's fun, but it's isn't it really interesting when you guys have chosen a theme to sort of get a handle on God's big, like what's the big story? We in our world often focus on the detail. What's my little bit? What am I doing? And then sometimes we need to sort of step back and go, what are we actually doing here? Like, why are you sitting here on a Sunday afternoon when it's so hot outside and you could be out there baking as opposed to being in this air-conditioned, comfortable room? And so it's really good to actually stop and go, why? And some of you are probably, even in your own journey of exploring God, behind your questions, well, a lot of your questions may start with why? Why is this happening? Why does it look like the way it does? Why is it hurt? But yet there's why is it wonderful and it's all mixed up. Do you know what I mean? And so it's wonderful that you are choosing to have some time to sort of ask that big question, why? What's God's big story? What's his plan? And is it just about my plan, or is it about my plan fitting in with his plan, or is it got nothing to do with my plan, or is it all to do with his plan? Do you know what I mean? All those sort of big questions. So it's good that you're doing that. And last week, Simon did a great job in really looking at the first couple of chapters of the book. You know, this wonderful book that we have. What a gift it is. I'm going to see if I can get it out here without wrecking this stand, because, no, it's coming. No, it's not. Here's an easy one. Oh, there's another example. There's two books. So that's the book, and this is the book as well. But it's, you know, right at the start of the Bible, we have this. This is good. It says Pastor's Bible. Can you see that? Oh, no, it's inside. Anyway, right at the beginning, God tells us, what is this thing? Where does it all begin? Where does it come from? And Genesis is a really interesting book because there's a lot in the Bible that's historical. Like it's telling these guys went here on Monday, they went there on Tuesday, they went there on Friday, and they had the weekend off. You know, it's historical record. Then we've got poetry, which is just I mean, I don't know, who loves looking at the Psalms? I love, they're just beautiful poems helping us explore thoughts and ideas, and it's glorious. And then there's stuff like Genesis, which is, well, did it happen? Did it not happen? Well, you know, sometimes we can be sure about some things and not sure, but one thing I want us to be aware of is that we in reading God's Word, we're trying to find out who is God and how do we fit with Him? Who are we, in fact? And as we look at Genesis, the big questions of Genesis is who are we and who is God and how do we interact? And it's a beautiful thing. You guys have started off looking at the first couple of chapters of God saying, I made this for you. I made this amazing world. Now, I don't know, I love going out in nature, yeah? And you're walking around trees and lakes and ocean sides, and it's glorious. And you think, Lord, this is remarkable. It is truly beautiful. And so He makes all of this, and He says to us, I made it for you. I made it that you could not only enjoy it, but that it would show you as much as I have put my creativity into all that you see, I've put in my supreme creativity in making you. And you matter. Everyone, no matter what you like, because you'll look at other people, well, I'm not like them. They seem really good and I'm not so good. But does God love me? He seems to really love them, but does He love me? And the answer is yes. He made all of us wonderfully unique, wonderfully individual, each with our own gifts and abilities and talents. And so last week you learned about that. You learned that God, His plan, His big plan was, you had three P's last week. Do you remember the three P's? It's not the story about three P's in a pod, but three P's. What was the first P? Can you remember? Stop cheating. You're the pastor. You should know this. If you don't, you should know it. The first P was what? Presence. So this whole idea of God made this world to become and be present. And it says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Great time to walk. Cool of the day. He hung out with them. He wanted intimate connection with those He made. Presence. The second thing was what? Power. Yeah, God, He spoke and stuff happens. And I speak and I have to then get up and do it. It just doesn't happen automatically. And so God is this incredibly powerful. I love, you know what, I love looking at stars. And you have all these dark places down in Adelaide, South Australia, yeah, where you can go, there's no light, and you can look up and see, you're looking at billions and billions of stars and miles and all that sort of thing, and God says, I hold the whole creation in the palm of my hand. And I'm like, oh my God, that makes you really, 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 really big. And so God is wonderfully powerful, and yet powerful not in a cruel way, but in a kind way. And so we've got, God is present, God is powerful powerful enough to create, but to also be part of His creation in terms of being present with us. And then the third thing was, the third P was partnership. This whole idea of us, of Him saying, I want to build something amazing. And here's a glimpse of a garden. And this is what I want to stretch into all of the creation that I've made, that everybody would know that I'm a loving God, I want to be with them, and I'm for them. And He wanted it to stretch. And He said, the only way I'm going to do that is with you. And I'll get to my talk in a moment, but I was at university, so I must have been about 19 or 20, and I was sitting on I went to New South Wales University, and there was what was called a library lawn. So there was a library and there was a lawn, right? Library lawn. Profound name for a lawn. I was sitting on the library lawn. It's so funny because I'm a little bit older than 20 now, and I still remember the moment. And I realized that I could actually do stuff to bless God. And I'm like, that's actually pretty huge when you think about it. Because God's the big guy. God's the guy who speaks and stuff happens. And I'm not that person. But I realized for the first time that there were things that I could do in my life that would actually honor him. Like, he'd go, thanks, Phil. Like, good on you. Like, well done. And I thought, I mean, you know, because when you, if you, you look at any human history, you know, the big guy, the guy who rules the country, the idea of some pleb like me doing anything to bless whatever our prime minister's name is, because I've just forgotten that. That's just not good, but it, anyway, not for now. Albanese, there we go. There's, I knew it started with A. Like, he doesn't know that I exist. He doesn't know that you exist. But God does. God knows that you exist. And when you get up in the morning and you feel led by him to be kind to somebody or to encourage somebody or to cheer somebody on, he goes, well done. Bill, Fred, Phil, Doris, Jane, you know, Alice, whoever your name is, whatever your name is. Do you know what I mean? He sees the little things that we do and he's blessed by that. And I'm like, man, that is cool. Okay, so we have this beautiful picture of this garden and God's desire to build something wonderful. And he says, I want you to be a part of it. I want you to partner with me to make it all happen. And good old Adam and Eve there, they're stark naked, which is interesting in itself, having a great time. And they go, ooh. And then what is strange is that as we think about that, but then when we get up this morning and every now and again, well, I look at the news probably each day. And I look at the news and I go, oh, that's terrible. Turn the page. Oh, that's even more terrible. Oh, what are they doing? We look at the news, we look at the world around us, and we go, there is something hugely wrong with this world. With God had this plan of something beautiful, and right now the world looks rubbish. Something's wrong. And this sense of God's rule is just not so obvious anymore. Because God said he wants to rule. He's the ruler of all things. He made all things. He's the ruler. And yet it feels like, Lord, where are you ruling here? It feels like these crazy people are doing crazy things and a lot of people are being hurt. So somewhere in there, we thought we could do a better job than God. We thought, yeah, I get what you're trying to do, God, but maybe I could give it a shot and see what I could do. So Genesis 3:1. This is what it says. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? So here's this strange event. We have this talking snake, which you don't see every day. And he comes and he doesn't seem to reinforce God's plan. It's like there's another option in play here. Because up to this point, it was like, this is the plan, guys. Get on board. And then this weird snake that talks says to these guys, hey, do you know there's another way of doing this thing? And they're like, what? I thought God's plan was it. Oh, no. In fact, yeah, maybe God's plan, you know, not too sure about that. And so the consequences of this event, we have mankind doubting God's kindness, his love, and his provision. So doubt comes into the world, sort of this sense of maybe it's not the way you thought. Man rejects God's way of building. Man chooses his own way to do things. And then man begins to suffer the consequences of what we would say his rebellion or our rebellion. And so we see the relationship between the man and the woman is now vulnerable. They're like, hey, Eve, you haven't got any clothes on. And Eve says, well, hello, look in the mirror, nor do you. And they have this, and they're like, oh, this is all a bit weird. And then they, you know, they eat the apple, as you've you know, you will read, and suddenly they go, something's wrong here, and everything gets messed up. And so what we see happening, and I'm sort of, in a way, going to really jump through the next 10 chapters of Genesis. And some of you may not have read that, but what these 10 chapters now reveal is the consequences of man choosing to do this building thing their way, not God's way. And so that's what begins to happen. Now, I wonder, you know, when we are on our own journey and from time to time we may do things that are wrong, that just, we, for whatever reason, we act selfishly, we hurt somebody, they hurt us, things happen. And it can be small things, it can be big things, and we have sort of, in a way, bought into this new way, this other option of trying to do things my way, not God's way. And I guess I'm really aware that when that happens, things get stirred up in us about what does my relationship with God now look like? We can think, will God now reject me because I've messed up? Does God, will he continue to care for me now that I've messed up? Does God still love me? Is he still present with me? Because it's a little bit like, you know, if you're not going to follow my way, well, then you take the highway. You know, sometimes that sense of no. In our world, if we don't follow what the leader says, we sort of get kicked out of the, you know, do you know what I mean? We get sidelined, we get pushed aside. Does God really understand the fact that I've had challenges in my life, my relationship with mum and dad or my relationship with my best friend, all these things got messed up and then I messed up. Does God understand those circumstances? One of the big things, am I now disqualified? Because you know how, you know, in school, when you went up and you might have done something and then you sort of got disqualified because you got something wrong, or somebody didn't want to choose you for their team because, you know, something was wrong. And you sort of feel like, I thought I was here, I've messed up. Does that now mean that I'm just sort of out of God's plan? You know, the last P, the whole partnership thing, does that mean, oh, I'm sorry, it's only two P's for you. It's not, you don't get the third P. You've messed up, so we can't really partner together. And we can even get to a point of going, well, does my life actually really matter? And so I am just aware that those sorts of things, those feelings, all of us may have experienced to this point in our lives where stuff's happened and we feel like on the shelf, on the bench. We are no longer of value for God, for other people, for his plan, and that really God's, all the stuff he did for Adam and Eve in the garden, the love, the care, the provision, the nice that they are all involved with, that's not mine anymore. And so what I want to do is I want to look at these next chapters and see how God responds. Because in the next chapters of Genesis, we have these stories of people living in a messed up world. And they're doing things that are just wrong. And I want you to watch as I, and all I'm doing here, and you may need to sort of go back and have a look at these chapters yourself later. What I'm wanting to do is, I'm picking out the bits of what God's doing. Because for me, I want to understand what God is up to as we look at these stories. So, Genesis 3, 8 and 9. Cool pictures, huh? This is wonderful internet. The first passage there, what's happened, Adam and Eve have sinned. They've now, and they're now hiding away because they're now frightened. So fear has now come into the world. They're frightened of being exposed to God. And so God comes looking for them and he says this. So then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, Where are you? Now, it's really interesting. So here it is. They've stuffed up. They're fearful. They don't know what God's going to do. They're hiding away. God still comes. He's still looking for them. He knew, even though, you know, like, God's a big guy, right? And it's like, does he know that they've messed up? Yes. He knows that they've messed up. And he still comes. So when we mess up, he still comes. He still comes looking for us. So God still cares despite what we do or what we think of ourselves or the story that we're telling ourselves. Because what I want to challenge today is the story we may be telling ourselves about how God feels about us even right now. So God still cares. Okay, so now God talks a little bit about what's the consequences of their big sin. And so in Genesis 3:15 it says this, "And I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers." So he's actually talking to the serpent now. So he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. I'm saying this is a really important verse because, you know, God is recognizing the evil in the world and speaking a judgment over evil. Because, you know, we look at our world, we see lots of evil, and we're going, "Lord, what are you doing about this evil in the world?" And God's saying, he, humanity, will crush your head in the sense that there is a judgment that's coming on evil in the world. So despite the snake's apparent victory, luring Adam and Eve away from God's plan, the snake is destined for defeat and is cursed to eat dust. And God makes a promise that one day a seed or a descendant of Adam and Eve will come and strike a lethal blow to the snake. Now, we know who that is. We talk about Jesus. We've just sung about Jesus. Is that he's the one who came in the power of God and crushed the enemy. This is an act of God's grace. God promises rescue even through pain, grief, and death, that we will be a part, that will be a part of our journey and theirs. So God promises rescue. See, he promises that not only for them, but also for us. Moving on a bit more. So we're still in Genesis 3. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife Eve and clothed them. So even in their shame, he chose to come and clothe them. You know how we see the pictures? They did the whole fig leaf thing, and he actually made clothes out of them, out of animal, you know, hair and all that sort of thing. So the sense of even in their brokenness, God cared for them and he provided for them to say, I'm covering the shame that they were feeling. And so here's God acting wonderfully towards them. The next story, we have Adam and Eve, they have kids, Cain and Abel, and one of them works really well with animals. The other guy is a gardener, and they do well, but then they bring their offerings to the Lord, and the Lord accepts one offering, and the Lord doesn't accept one of the other kids' offerings. And He speaks to them, and he realizes that there is this second option is still in play. That even though they've been cast out of the garden, God is still hanging out with them. He says in Genesis 4:7, "But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So does God understand the challenges that we face? Yeah, he does. He looked at Cain and Abel and he realized that there was challenge for them. We have temptation to do evil. We have circumstances in our life that make it hard to live and to follow God sometimes. And so here we have a God who recognizes the presence of evil in our midst. And he says to them, just be aware, evil is right there. But your challenge is to recognize the presence, the challenge, the temptations that are there, and again, choose with the power of God to say no. And so God is kind in terms of recognizing our circumstances. So the story moves on. Mankind begin to populate the world. But sadly, even though what's happened has happened, they're still choosing to do evil. They're still choosing to try and build their own way. And God is grieved by that. And so many of us will know the story of Noah and the ark. If you did Sunday school, you probably built an ark and you put animals in it and had the whole fun of all that sort of thing. But God was being true to his nature, judging evil, and yet at the same time not abandoning people. Noah and his family are spared through the destruction of the flood, and once again God makes a profound promise to give both Noah's family and us hope that we are not abandoned. So in Genesis 8, it says, then Noah built an ark, an altar. So what's happened? They've done the whole 40 days, the rain, you know, like Queensland right now. They've done the 40 days. Well, it's not 40 days. They've had 5 days. But anyway, they've had a lot of rain. The animals and Noah's family went into the ark. God saved them. The floods dissipate. The ark lands. They come out. Noah and the family go, woohoo, God has saved us. This is fantastic. And they build an altar. Because you keep wondering, Lord, is your plan still in play here? Is God still wanting to build his kingdom? Or is he just relying on us really crazy broken people to try and make it happen ourselves? God still has a plan. And he's still working at it. So then Noah built an ark to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. And the Lord smelt the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. God still has a plan. And that means if he has a plan, those three P's still remain. His presence with us, his power in us, and his partnership working through us. They still remain. Now you would think that after that happened, Noah and the family and their kids and kids and the generations after them would go, do you remember Noah? You remember how God did the whole thing? And then God saved Noah. Surely we can do it better this time round. Do you know what I mean? You would think that, wouldn't you? When you've given a bit of grace, you've got a new start, you go, let's do it better. Let's follow what God wants. Let's do it his way. But not so lucky. So we get to a city, and the people in that city think, we want to make a name for ourselves. We're going to build a tower that reaches to the heavens. In other words, we're going to get to heaven our way. And so we're going to do the building. And so they start building this huge tower, thinking if they can do that, they will accomplish God's plan. They will get to heaven, and it says, let me read from 11 verse 4. It says, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So once again, they want to do it their way, and they want to make a name for themselves. And so we see this incredible graphic image of the challenges that we face, of us wanting to do it our way, God's way's there, and yet God frustrates their plans with disunity so that they would turn back to God. Now, I want to say, you chose to be here this afternoon, and I want to say, well done. There's a whole lot of people in our world who don't choose to pursue God, who don't choose, even not knowing all the answers to their questions, even struggling with their own lives and the circumstances of what's going on for them, and they choose not to look to God. And so I feel like, and both Kath and I, that's why we feel we want to spend time encouraging churches, because we feel like as people in pursuit of God, that we might not have, you may still be trying to work out your faith. And that's wonderful that you're still in process and you're still asking the big questions. It's great. The fact that we, in all our different ways, are pursuing a journey towards God, with God, is absolutely wonderful. We have in Australia this term called stoked. Now, for those of you who aren't Australian born, stoked means God is really two thumbs up. Yeah? Does that make sense? God is two thumbs up for all of us who are continuing to pursue Him, because you have friends who don't even think about God. There are millions of people around this planet who don't think about God. They think about themselves and what they're doing. But as we continue to choose God, we honor Him by choosing to consider Him in our lives. And as we think about, these are challenging chapters because it doesn't paint humanity in a very good light. Would you agree? Man does not look good at the end of Genesis 11. They have messed up big time and have continued to do it. They haven't learned anything, you know. And yet what we have learned about God is that He is faithful, He is loving, He has a plan that will not stop. He is purposely choosing to work through us, broken as we are. Like, that was the weird thing. On the library lawn, I'm sitting going, I'm just this weird guy trying to work out how to be an engineer, and God wants to work through me to help other people. I found that seems bizarre. Why would God want to do that? Well, obviously, He saw something in me that I never saw. You know what I mean? So as you think about your life and you look in the mirror and you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror and going, wow, God, you want to use me. Wow. Miracle worker God. You know, God of the impossible. Yes. And so, but that's the nature of our God. We see Him acting here again and again and again, saying, you matter to me. Even though you've got it wrong, you sort of messed up with that bit, or, you know, or you haven't worked that bit out in your life yet, God says, I am still for you. I am still with you. I love you. I want to provide for you. I want to care for you. Don't ever forget that. And so as we explore God, we have a God who doesn't say, I want you to do all this, and if you do all this, then you're okay with me. God goes, no, I know that you can't do this. So I'm going to come and I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to journey with you. People played sport, yeah? When you first played sport, like let's say you learned soccer or what do girls play? Netball, soccer, other things. You know when you first start, and I coached my son's soccer, right? And he was like this high. And on a soccer field, you know how you have goals at each end of the field, yeah? Okay, when kids are four and they're playing soccer, they have different coloured jerseys, but that means nothing. You put the ball in the middle and they go, okay, ball, kick. And so they all just run at the ball and just kick it. And it doesn't matter which way they're kicking it. It doesn't matter if they kick another person. It doesn't mean if they kick it out to the side. The nets, I don't know what they're for, but we've got to kick the ball. And so they just run crazy. Have you seen it? You've seen it. Kids, they're running around and they're just going, and the ball's somewhere in the middle and they're just running around, falling over, and some are crying and parents are coming and picking, oh, it's okay, Johnny, you'll be fine. You know, and all that's going on and they have no idea. And yet, I have no idea, why did I give this example? It's a proud parent. But even though what they're doing at the start, there is still a sense of care for them, a parent looking at them. And then as Like for us, we may be new, brand new people, brand new believers in Jesus, and we're just trying to work it out. And like, I still don't know anything about the Bible, but I know there's God and I know he loves me, but who knows what? And God goes, but I'm with you and I'm for you and I have a plan and purpose for you. Isn't that wonderful? That's the God I want to follow. If I could fit God into a neat box, he would be too small. Think about that as you ask questions of God. If I could answer all the questions I have for God, he would be too small. God is big. And that's where I want to finish. We have a wonderful God who's with us. So Holly and Eddie. Yes. And Karis are going to come up and do their thing, which is wonderful. These guys are going to play. I'm going to get us to stand, but I want to encourage you to sort of look inside and think, Lord, what is the story I'm telling myself about me? Am I saying you're not good enough? Am I saying God doesn't care? Am I saying God has not recognized me? Are there things in your story that you're living out that aren't actually true to what we see in the Bible? You understand what I'm saying? Are there things that you're believing because of what your circumstances are, what you've done or what you haven't done or whatever, that are you're believing some things that actually aren't true? Because God wants us to hear from his word and know that he cares. No matter what we've done, he is with us. So I'm going to pray about that. And then if you're thinking, yeah, that's me, I'm believing some not right stuff about me, and I think I'd like to get some prayer about that. Well, that's what we do in this church. We pray. We invite the power of God to come in and to in a way, restore our lives into the truth that God believes and knows about us. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So let's stand. I'm going to pray. These guys are to start whenever, and they're wonderful. Father, we are humbled by the fact that we matter to you. Lord, that even though we have messed up, we haven't got it all right, Lord, that we matter to you. That right now here in Marion, in South Australia, you see us. You see me, Lord. And even though, Lord, I haven't worked out my whole life, Lord, I sense that my life matters to you. So, Lord, I invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak your truth over my life. And let me hear it. Let me hear what is true about me. Part of your story so much, like it's the thing that the deepest desire of my heart is to be part of your story, not mine. Your story is better. Your story is hope, it's love, it's freedom, it's rescue. I want that. I want that not just for me, but for my family, for my friends, for this world. But Lord, I need you. This whole partnership thing, oh yeah. I need you to walk with me. I need you to hold my hand, pick me up when I fall over. Speak to me, open the Bible to me so I get it. People to come forward. If you want to get some prayer, and it's like, yeah, I just need somebody to pray for me, then we've already got people being prayed for already. But if you want to come forward, there's going to be people here who will pray for you, and just to stand with you as you look to God. So these guys are going to just sing some quiet worship songs over us. Stay connected with what God is doing. And if you want some prayer,